So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, reading from verse 1.
I remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. Just so far. Jason will now bring us the message for this morning. Thanks, Jason.
Risen. And as far as the biblical narrative goes, that actually shouldn't come as that much of a surprise. I mean, if we've been reading the gospel accounts, that is, like Matthew, we read a bit out of earlier, if we read through the gospel accounts, then we would have seen this coming. Because Jesus foretold that he would be raised from the dead after 3 days. If you've got your Bible open there, we can have a look at a couple. He foretold this 3 times explicitly in Matthew's Gospel. And it makes you stop and think, has anyone else ever foretold something like this and then been proved right? But Jesus did, and Jesus was. He promised people in advance that he would be raised from the dead on the third day. For example, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 21, we read, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. That's Matthew 16, 21. Matthew 17, verse 22. And we read, as they were gathering in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is about to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day. Matthew chapter 20, Jesus says, see, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death and deliver him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, and he will be raised on the third day. That's why the angel could say to the two Marys in the bit that we read earlier, in our reading from Matthew 28 this morning, the angel could say to the two Marys, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. So the first thing to lock in about Easter, that first Easter Sunday morning, is that Jesus saw it coming. He told his disciples in advance that not only should they brace themselves for the horrors that were coming on Good Friday, but that they should also anticipate that first Easter Sunday. He has risen just like he promised. So this is immediately unique. As I say, This is unique. If anyone in the history of the world has ever promised that they would die and then be raised again, and then they died and were raised again, we would know about it. We would know about it. Now, this is uniquely true of Jesus. He foretold it, and he was right. The second thing to contemplate today is that after he was indeed raised that morning, his disciples were all witnesses of that fact. For example, as Tim read this morning from Matthew 28, that part of the story, the women met the risen Lord. Chapter 28, verse 9, and behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. He was there in the flesh and blood. Make no mistake about that. The women grabbed his feet, and in a flood of joy, they worshipped him. The 12 disciples, too, they witnessed Jesus raised from the dead when he appeared to them. We read in Luke chapter 24, that part of the story, as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still disbelieving for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat? Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. He was there in the flesh and blood, with hands and feet and body, and an appetite even for grilled fish that Sunday morning. The disciples saw him. They touched him. He ate with them. Make no mistake about it. He is risen. The third thing about Easter Sunday today to think about is the whole apostolic movement. The whole New Testament that was then written is based on this fact. The fact that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead is central to this whole gospel message. We've been seeing that in our series on Acts this year, where the gospel mission is focused on Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and was raised from the dead. Of this, we are witnesses, they keep saying every time they preach. But we also read it before in 1 Corinthians 15. The Apostle Paul, writing to a church in Corinth that is getting distracted with all kinds of problems, Paul hits the big reset button on that church and brings them right back to the heart of the gospel. Let me read again from 1 Corinthians 15. In verse 1, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me." You can fact check this, Paul is saying here. You can fact check this if you're having problems with this. He appeared to more than 500 people at one point, and most of those guys are still around if you need to double check this. This is the gospel. He is risen. Paul's emphasis here that Jesus has risen, he can say that because Jesus appeared to so many people, and including Paul himself. That's the whole oomph behind the gospel witness in the New Testament. It's the whole oomph behind the New Testament. It's the whole reason, indeed, that the whole world today knows the name of Jesus Christ. Even though they mightn't realize it, even though they're not going to church today, most of them, they know this name, and the only reason why is because the apostles proclaimed this gospel. He is risen. It's unique. It's the only time anything like this ever has happened. That event is crucial to the gospel. In fact, as Paul goes on to explain, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then there is no gospel. There is no Christianity if he didn't rise from the dead. There is no hope for humankind. 1 Corinthians 15, I encourage you to read it later. Let me read from verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We were even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it's true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. The resurrection of Jesus Christ on that first Easter Sunday, according to the scriptures, and foretold by Jesus ahead of the event, witnessed by so many people at the event, and then proclaimed by these believers after the event. It's more than just relevant to the gospel. It is the gospel. It is the gospel. He is risen. There's three things to contemplate this Easter Sunday about the resurrection. Jesus foretold it repeatedly. People witnessed it bodily. And the whole church mission is based on it. I also want to give you two answers today. Two answers that might come in handy at some point. The first answer is for those times when you find yourself in a conversation and you suddenly have to answer this question. Well, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? Tell me, what is it that you believe? Have you ever been in that kind of situation where you suddenly have to answer that question and for whatever reason you draw a mental blank and you feel unprepared and you kind of just can't figure it out? I mean, beyond the translation approach kind of answer where you say, the gospel is the good news. That doesn't buy you much time, does it? Well, what is the good news? Well, it's about Jesus, you know. Have you ever been in that kind of situation? Beyond that, you draw a mental blank and you just can't seem to find the right words, and you flap around and scratch around, coming up with everything you try to answer it with just doesn't seem to be right. Later on, you think to yourself, well, why was that so awkward? Here is the answer according to the apostles. For that great question, it's a great question, what is the gospel? Listen again to Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And he appeared to hundreds of people as a testimony to that fact. Christ died for our sins exactly as he promised. And he was raised from the dead exactly as he promised. That is what the New Testament is about. That is what the apostles are proclaiming as the very heart of the gospel every time they open their mouth and preach. Christ has died and Christ is risen. Two sides to the one epic event. The one epic event that has brought hope to the whole human story. And from that basis, of course, the apostles then open up and explore exactly how that impacts everything in life. Which brings me to the second answer I'd like to give you today, which might be more helpful for the follow-up questions. Bill preached to us on Friday how Jesus' death was to atone for our sins. If we receive his death for us, then we stand in God's mercy now instead of standing under the judgment that we deserve. But what about the resurrection? What about the resurrection? What does that mean? What's the resurrection got to do with us? How does it change things? How does it matter to the gospel? Well, again, Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 15, if you'd like to read it later. I know everybody likes homework on Easter Sunday. If you'd like to read it, it's great. He explains the significance of the resurrection for you and I. If Christ has been raised from the dead, then death has been defeated. Death has been defeated. The one single thing that humankind cannot avoid, the one thing that comes for us all, has lost its power. Death will not be the end for us anymore. God has demonstrated this by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus himself gave us a teaser of this in his life and ministry. I mean, he raised three people from the dead in his life and ministry. And the apostles and the prophets raised a few more people in the scriptures from the dead. But all those other cases were people being raised from the dead and being brought back to this perishable, mortal form. They're raised to life, but only to face death again in the course of time. That's probably why we don't hear much more about those people. They're staggering miracles, of course, and the whole world should hear about them, but they're just a teaser of what happened on Easter Sunday in Jesus Christ. Because as the apostle goes on to explain in the rest of this chapter, this resurrection of Jesus is about a whole new creation order. It's been started. There's a new heavenly, imperishable, immortal body. It's still a body in the flesh and bone sense of the word. I mean, Jesus was eating fish with them on Easter Sunday. They were talking with him. They were touching him. They were listening to him. They were rejoicing with him for 40 days before he was taken up. But there's something different about this resurrection body. It will not wither and die like these current forms that we have, that we know. What happened on Easter Sunday morning was the beginning of a new creation that's coming in. And so Paul explains in this chapter that Jesus is just the first fruits of this whole new creation that's coming in. And by first fruits, he means that the first part of the harvest that's picked and delivered as a sign of that whole harvest that's going to follow. And that's us. That's us. We too will be raised from death in a glorious new resurrection body. What's Jesus' resurrection got to do with us? It's the sign of what we ourselves can look forward to. And if Christ has been raised from the dead, then all of his promises are good and reliable. If he promised that and came good on that, then all of his promises are good and reliable. Surely there could be no stronger acid test of the reliability of Jesus' promises than that one. I will be raised on the third day. And he was. It testifies to the validity of all of his promises. It testifies to the validity of the first part of the gospel, that I will die for your sins, he said. Done. So as Bill proclaimed to us on Good Friday, the outcome of that historic event is that sinners like you and I are saved, because Christ has indeed died for our sins, and the resurrection attests to the surety of that promise and the glorious future that we can now look forward to. Well, I've given you a few things to contemplate about the resurrection. Jesus foretold it, first of all, repeatedly foretold it. The disciples witnessed it en masse. They witnessed it bodily, and the apostles proclaimed it over and over and over and over and over. Understand those three things about the resurrection today. It was foretold, it was witnessed, it was proclaimed. It is the gospel. And I've given you a couple of answers that I hope come in handy at some point. Firstly, whenever you get asked that question again, what is the gospel? Christ died for our sins, and on the third day, he was raised. That's the answer. Christ died, Christ is risen. The conversation can flow from there, of course. It should flow from there. But that's the essential part that's got to be said. That's the part that's got to come out. To explore this any further, that's what it's all based on. So when you're being peppered about questions about your faith and you're under pressure to explain, you feel a bit overwhelmed, exactly what is it? You have a mental blank. What is Christianity about? Start with the heart of the gospel. Jesus died for our sins, and he was raised from the dead. That's what the apostles preach in this New Testament. That's what this New Testament is about. That's what our faith is all built on. And the second answer as to why the resurrection matters, well, what's the resurrection got to do with us? It confirms our promised destiny, everything he promised us. It confirms our forgiveness in Jesus' name. He died for our sins, and it confirms our eternal life that he saves us into. A glorious resurrection body awaits us. He's promised it to everyone who trusts in him. Death will take us. Death will take us, but it will not claim us. We belong to Jesus Christ. So if those internal doubts pop up, or if you feel overwhelmed with conflicting thoughts or confusing thoughts, or people start bombarding you with all these heavy theological arguments, remember the simplicity of Easter. The simplicity of it. Jesus is the first fruits. The first fruits, the first part of the whole harvest that's coming, which is us. His resurrection is confirmation of ours. I'd like to also leave you with one essential question. One essential question. I'm confident that you can handle all these things today. You can handle one more. Three things to contemplate, two answers that hopefully will help, and one urgent, crucial question. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Christians, we must believe this. This is why we say to one another, he is risen. For the apostles, to believe that he is risen is inherently bound up with believing in Jesus, full stop. Romans chapter 10, Paul writes, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." It's all bound up together as far as the apostles are concerned. We confess him as Lord. We believe God raised him from the dead, and so our hearts trust and our tongues confess, and we will be saved. The resurrection is the gospel. So let me give you that question to reflect on over Easter. Do you believe? Do you still believe? Do you believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead? We need to keep checking in with our own hearts and our own minds on these questions. This is fundamental to the gospel, because we get into drift mode as Christians. We just kind of walk through the motions. Sometimes we get so familiar with these passages, we've read them and heard them thousands of times, we get so familiar that we might not even be processing it anymore. We've got to keep checking in with what we believe. So do you still believe this? It is exclusively Christian, and it is essentially Christian to believe this. And it is truly the work of the Holy Spirit to convict us as such that we even can believe this. Listen to the risen Lord Jesus talking about people in our shoes. This is Jesus talking about people in our shoes. To the doubting Apostle Thomas, after he'd appeared to Thomas in the flesh and blood, this is Jesus talking to Thomas about people like us. From John chapter 20, Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Believe it, my friends. Believe it. And praise the Lord for what he has done, that he's convicted us of this, that we may have forgiveness unto everlasting life in Jesus' name, that we will be raised in this glorious way. Let that gospel permeate every tiny recess of your heart over this Easter and over the rest of your life, so that we can look forward to that day that he's promised for us, that he's graciously promised to us and will certainly deliver. And happy Easter. Let's sing.